Join with me in prayer. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. You are who you say you are, and that is our Father. And you provided a way of escape for me before I was ever born. So that, Lord, at the moment that you'd visit me by your Holy Spirit, and each and every one of us, you'd come and at some point in life give us the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Father, we thank you for that opportunity. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood, and thank you for the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that you get our letters. I hope you get our monthly letters. All of you that are watching, we send out a monthly teaching letter at the first few days of the month. And they're power-packed and they're strong because we spend time in prayer seeking God to know His mind for you, what's relevant, what's prophetic. And if you don't get our monthly letters, we never ask for anything. They're free. You just write in to us and send us an email at our email address on our website, and we will put you on our mailing list. And if you don't have email, then you'll have to write us, and our address is there at the website. But if you don't have a computer, I don't know how you're watching our website. I'm not sure how that goes. But anyway, somehow, if you can write us, you should be able to because you're watching us this morning. We will send you through snail mail if necessary. Everybody gets a letter that requests. Amen. So I'm going to read what he wants me to do is to read the letter that just went out at the first part of April. For many of you, you've already read it, but I want us to go over it together a little bit and just you listen, and I'll read and I'll listen and I'll comment as he says so. This is April's letter, April 20th or 2022. It's just simply entitled, The Resurrection. Dear friend, I usually write to all of you personally, so I'll put your name in there because all of you are a person and very relevant to God. Dear friend, Jesus declared to Martha, the sister of his friend Lazarus, these words in John chapter 11. John 11:25 says this, Jesus said unto her, that's unto who? Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, he's talking about though he were dead or she was dead spiritually, not knowing Christ. If they believe on me or in me, they'll have resurrection. Thou shalt live. Jesus did not say, remember what he said. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Jesus did not say that he had resurrection life in himself, but rather that he was the resurrection. There's a big difference. He was actually declaring that he had come from God to become the resurrection of mankind from spiritual death. This statement was made before the event of his crucifixion and resurrection. There was coming a time in the near future for Jesus in which his death and his physical resurrection would declare to the entire world the power that the Father had given him over spiritual death for all mankind. Therefore, John 10 says this, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus had received from his Father a commandment and a promise that if he would lay down his life in both physical and spiritual death, he would also have the power to once again take it up in the resurrection. All human history, listen, all human, I know we don't think like this sometimes, but everything as far as where the existence of man lies, all human history, according to God, is predicated on two events: the birth of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. Without the birth, there is no possibility of the resurrection. But without the resurrection, the birth is meaningless. We celebrate Christmas, and rightfully so, and things are done in churches, and big musicals are put on, and for 2 or 3 weeks, Christmas is celebrated. Now they've gotten away from even celebrating Christmas as happy holidays. But the birth was important, absolutely, and the birth was important, because without the birth, how could you have the crucifixion? But if Jesus is not crucified, buried, then resurrected, there is no salvation. His birth means nothing. A baby Jesus means nothing without big Jesus becoming dead, both physically and spiritually. Without that, we're all lost. All humanity is lost. There's no escaping. There's absolutely no escaping. Because when Adam, see, I look around the room, and we have to term it this way, but there's whites, there's black, there is Haitian, my grandchildren are Haitian, there's Hispanic, Jewish, all different nationalities. But all of us started with just two people. Just two people stood in the garden. And Eve was tempted. Eve was deceived, but then Adam gave way with full-blown knowledge of what he was doing. The Word said that in the hour that you eat of this fruit, you'll die. Well, he did die, but he didn't die physically. He died spiritually. When Eve was beguiled by Satan and she ate, Adam had to make a decision, because God said, in the hour that you eat of this, you'll die. Well, God, what God was talking about was spiritual death. Well, she ate it, and the Bible says she turned and gave it to her husband. Somebody said, well, he was way off. No, he was standing right there, because she turned and gave it to him. He was watching. Sorry, Adam, you're a coward. Should have just stood right, stepped up. If a man comes, I don't care how big he is. I don't care if he's the world champion fighter. If he's going to somehow hurt my wife, I'll never know about it, because I'll be dead. I won't be conscious. He'll not hurt her. Adam should have stepped up and said, you lying serpent. The God that created us told us not to even touch this, much less eat thereof. You're a liar. The serpent said, if you eat of this, you'll be smart like God. You'll have the capacity to know things like God. And when they saw that it was wonderful to the sight and looked good and tasted good, she took a bite of whatever it was. Don't know. Somebody said it's apple. We don't know what it was. But she died. But they couldn't tell it. Then Adam evidently was watching. He was already allowing himself to be tempted. He was watching to see. No watches, obviously, but I'll give her 5 minutes. She'll be dead in 5 minutes. When she didn't die, she turned and gave to him, and he had made some kind of calculated decision. There's two sources here. This serpent, and please, 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 please. The serpent was a real wonderful allegoric kind of understanding that Moses, he wrote Genesis, obviously. Moses gave an allegoric kind of wisdom. It wasn't some kind of slithering kind of... This was a fallen angel. This is a fallen angel. His name was Lucifer. He came in all of his beauty. He's called the serpent because he was reduced after the fall. God said, you'll crawl on your belly. Now, that snake that you see in your front yard, that's not Lucifer. The snake was used as an analogy to say, this is how you seduced. So they had a decision. Wait a minute. This shining, wonderful creature, angelic creature, has told us she will not die. She'll have more knowledge than God. We'll be like gods. So she didn't die, so he made a decision. Evidently, God was a liar. You must be telling the truth. Okay, I'll see. I'll partake. I'll eat of the fruit. And the moment that she ate, or that he ate, both of them died spiritually. Well, that spiritual death was passed from Adam all the way through. All the way through. And that spiritual death is passed on to all humanity, even today. It didn't matter that you, when you're born in innocence in the sense of the word, a little baby. If they die or aborted in the womb, they go to heaven. But once you come to a place of accountability, once you know right from wrong, mama's relationship, somebody else's relationship with Jesus won't get you there. Why? Because you were born spiritually dead, according to the word. The sin nature that Adam fell with was passed on genetically, spiritually genetically, to each one of us. And there was no way of getting out of that except through Jesus Christ. He crossed the spiritual void. We were standing, humanity was standing on one side, and there was no way. Nobody could get there. David, he'd sit there for hours and worship God and write some of the most beautiful psalms. And if it wasn't for the Word of God, I'd just almost think that he was just as far away from salvation as the dirtiest, dirtiest mongrel dog of a person. Why? Because though he could look into that, there's no way for anyone to ever cross that spiritual void except through the blood of Jesus Christ. No way. Today's your day of destiny. Today is your day of hope. If you don't make a decision for Christ today, will I ever get another? Well, I want to live a little bit, Pastor. And I'm not really convinced of this, Pastor. I'm looking in the camera. And I don't know, maybe talking to somebody here. Let me tell you something. Today is a day of decision. It's a reckoning day. It's a day where you're going to have to decide. If you don't decide today, well, I'll have another chance. You may have another chance, but I'll tell you this. Did you know every time that anybody hears the truth and doesn't choose the truth, they get harder? It makes it harder for them to respond. And I can tell you this. You can ignore this message all you want. You can. You can act like it doesn't bother you. But I can tell you this. The Word says that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And on that day, when you're standing there, and He says to you, depart from me. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You'll say, when did I ever get the chance? He'll roll back a curtain and say, you remember. You see this? I'll play it for you again if necessary. You were seated in a little church in Immokalee, Florida, and you heard the truth. And you rejected the truth. And something like a big angel will come and get you by the hand. You won't be, I don't care who you are, you won't be able to overpower it. He'll lead you into a place of no return. But that's the bad news. The good news is Jesus. He's provided a way of escape. He's provided a way of escape. Mahalakaristeteni. Jesus said these words, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus had received from His Father a commandment and a promise that if He would lay His life down in both physical and spiritual death, He would also have the power to once again take it up in the resurrection. All human history is predicated on two events, the birth of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. Without the birth, there's no possibility of the resurrection, and without the resurrection, the birth is meaningless. From the first man, Adam, until the last Adam, Jesus. Now, let me just say this. Sometimes people will say, and I know, I don't get all bent out of shape about it. They just don't. A lot of times people will say, from the first man, Adam, or they'll say, to the second Adam. Jesus was not the second Adam. He was the last Adam. Because if He was the second Adam, then you run the possibility of having a third or a fourth or a fifth or a sixth. He's the end. And another thing too, it doesn't say He's the last man, Adam. It said He's the last Adam. The first man, Adam, and the last Adam, not the first, or not the first man, Adam, and the last man, Adam. He's just the last Adam. Hallelujah. For 4,000 years since the fall of Adam in the garden until the coming of the resurrection, Jesus, mankind had lived under the dominion of spiritual death. Romans 5:12 says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all of sin. So everybody became a sinner. When Jesus stated, I am the resurrection, He was not only speaking about His future resurrection, but the power and the authority that He had set, all that He had to set all mankind free from spiritual death. The death of Jesus is broken down into two parts. Please understand this. The death that Jesus suffered on earth in His physical death through the crucifixion was only the first part of the death of Jesus. The second part of His death was the spiritual death that He suffered in hell, condemned under the penalty of the sins of mankind. If there was no crucifixion and physical death, then there is no spiritual death. If there's no spiritual death, then there was no possibility of our resurrection from the power of spiritual death. 2 Corinthians 5:12 says this, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him." You've got to get this. Listen, 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 listen. He made Him to be sin. He didn't carry our sins. He made Him to be sin. He made Him to be sin. In other words, in that last, when Jesus, see, what He dreaded more than anything else, what caused great drops of blood to be sweated from Him, was not knowing that I'm about to die. What was His agony more than anything else was I'm about to spiritually be separated from my Father. Do you know what happens to you if you're not ready to go? The moment that you die in a car wreck, or the moment that you breathe your last breath, young, old, 20, 30, 40, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, to 70, to 100 years old, well, He'll let old people in. Not if you're not born again. Jesus said this. Well, that's your opinion, Pastor. I don't have any opinion. No, no, no. I can show you everything from the Word. Except you be born again, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. Well, I was christened once. No. I'm a good person. No. I'm sorry. You must be born again to come in. No, you don't have to join this church. But you have to join something else. It's called the family of God. Where there's no black, there's no white, there's no Republican, there's no Democrat, there's nothing. All just one in one. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loved you so much that He gave His life. But not just His physical life. What bothered Him the most was He was about to lose His spiritual life. In other words, if you die in this life, you're whisked away. You're not. You don't hang around here. There's no ghost stories. Are there ghosts? Well, there's devils that may hang out. But a human being is immediately, within 10 seconds or less, one place or the other. He made it where we don't have to wake up in a dark spot without mom, without dad, in a place of torment. But Jesus knew that His separation from the Father. Now, why was the, Luke says that He sweated great drops of blood. He became sin. In other words, His spirit actually became, it actually became sin. His human spirit. He died. Can you imagine? I don't want to get too graphic. Imagine you'd lived 33 years as a man. Because He didn't come. He said, well, He was God. No, He was God in the flesh, but He lived His life. The Word says that in Philippians that He laid down His... I don't know how you do that, but He said in Himself, before I ever go, I promise to myself, I'll never act out of my Godship. I'll live my whole life. Somehow He was able to divide it, lay it down and say, I'll never ever... That world of who I am and this world of who I am will never cross. I'll never use my powers as God. If I'm able to make it sinless, it won't be because I ever used my God power. I'll always walk as a human being, as Son of Man. I'll conquer sin. You don't think that when He didn't see a pretty young lady walk by, that His human being part of him thought, very nice, very nice. But he didn't allow it to go any further. He didn't begin to entertain, well, what about? Well, what about? Well, what about? Well, what about? Do you think that when they would stand up and the Pharisees would deride him and say all manner of things about him, what were they saying? Well, one, I can guarantee you that there was a lot said about his mother. She's a harlot. She's a harlot. Joseph married her because he had to. She's a harlot. You got to understand. Get out of the box. Get out of, live the word in a like a real world. He wanted to defend himself, that flesh part of him. But can you imagine never, well, if he lived in today's society, I'll say it like this, never looking at porno, never looking at a lady in a wrong way, choosing to say no, yes, I can feel the temptation, but no, I won't. Living 33 years out of the power of the new nature, but guess what? Hey, I got something to tell you. I gotta tell you this. If you've been born again, you've got the same power to resist sin now that he had then. Hallelujah. Because he didn't resist it out of his Godship. You're not God, I'm not God, but I have the same Spirit in me that he had in him, which is the life of God in me, the Spirit of Christ in me. And now, if I say no to something, it's a finality. I don't have to fuss with it and say, oh, it's just drawing on me. I can't take it. No, when I say no, I mean no. And I don't even have to fight. I just keep, it's no, and I mean no. Now, if you say no, but that looks pretty good. You've done a terrible injustice to the power of the new nature. The church, we're going to get back for people. We're going to get back. This is what revival is going to be like. We're going to get back to a church that's not walking in a dress code like, you know, you got to dress a certain way and you got to pay your tithes and you got to, you know, you got to say yes to the pastor, yes to the pastor. Yet no, we're going to walk in a righteousness that comes from him by the power of the new nature. The world at large has seen people that claim, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. And they slept together last night and they're not even married. Christians don't do that. Not born again Christians. Not born again Christians. Because you've been given the power to say no to that. But churches have not taught that fornication is wrong. And so Christians, even though they were born again, you know, the first moment that you're born again, you have that whitewashed inside of you, and you know. They didn't even give you a Bible. You just know what's right and wrong. But then if you start going to a church where they say, hey, we're going to have a beer party after church. Wine is a mocker. Don't try to tell me that it's not a mocker. Get right with God. We're going to have a beer party, and I'm going to testify to my friends. You've lost your testimony. But he gave you the power to walk just like him. But what bothered him the most was he was about to spend a time away from his father. And I wanted to say this, not to be too graphic, but can you imagine not ever, like if it was in modern, not ever looking at a woman wrong, just appreciating by natural order, beautiful. If I wasn't the Son of God and I hadn't, if it wasn't my job to save all of you, marriage is not wrong. But I got to save all of y'all because you're all going to hell in a handbasket. But then in that last 24 hours, all of sin began to come upon him. All the thoughts, the emotions, the feelings of every diabolical murderer, child molester. Everything started coming on him. And he's resisting it to the point that he knows, without my Father, if I lose what I've got, if I lose my new nature, and that's what he was going to lose. It wasn't a new nature to him. It was a life nature. It's a new nature to us. But if he lost what we call the new nature, how will I ever get it back? He had a promise. He had a promise from his Father. Listen to this. As I said, the death of Jesus is broken down to two parts, the physical and the spiritual. He's made him to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus not only carried our sins, he became our sins. The death of the physical Jesus was only part of the resurrection. The death of the spirit of Jesus was absolutely necessary for our redemption. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost about Jesus' resurrection from a spiritual death. And he said this, Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be holded of it, that he should be holded of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand. Jesus, he was testifying, David was prophesying of Jesus, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not, listen to this. This was the promise that came from David. This is the promise that Jesus held on to. He knew the scriptures. He had this promise from his Father. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke of the days that he would suffer in hell. Watch this. Listen. He said, Jesus of himself said this. For as Jonah was 3 days, this is in Matthew 12:40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. If Jesus, and this is exactly what he was doing, if Jesus is telling us that Jonah was a picture in the natural of his own spiritual confinement in hell, then it would be good for us to see what Jonah had to say about Christ's experience. Jonah 2:1 says this, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. This was Jonah's experience. Remember, this happened to Jonah in the well. But this is really all what happened to Jesus in hell. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, Jonah actually said, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to my soul. The depths closed me about. The weeds were wrapped about my head, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He's describing here the place of the damned, hell. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me. Forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Jonah used words that prophetically described the experience that Jesus would suffer in his spiritual dead state in hell. Descriptions like, out of the belly of hell I cried, for thou hast cast me into the deep, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Listen to this. There is no doubt that Jesus experienced extreme torment and separation from God in a place of everlasting confinement called hell. No man that has ever gone there by penalty of his own sins has ever escaped. Yet Jesus was not there because of his own sins. Why did Jesus get to come out? Because he wasn't there on his own sins. If he had sinned, there would have been no escape for him. And what a mess. We'd have lost our Savior. Because God only had one son. If this one failed, then everybody goes to hell. Yet Jesus was not there because of his own sins, but because of yours and mine. One distinct truth remained in the heart of Jesus during those days of torment. He knew that it was impossible to deliver himself, but he had received a promise from his Father. The Father had promised, remember Psalms? He had promised that he would not forget his son or leave his son in hell. Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Corruption was meaning he wouldn't allow his body. Corruption was considered by the Jews to start 4 days after being put in the grave. Again, I'll read this. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. On the series that Pastor Dave did 25, 30 years ago, I listened to every single series, sometimes multiple times. And on the series called The Love Walk, which was one of my favorites, he talks about, I think, that he includes both of these visions in there. And I was thinking about these visions last night. He talked about, I think it was maybe after a seeking time where he sought the Lord. He was fasting and praying. That he began to have a vision, and he saw something. He would see it, and then it would disappear. He would see it, he'd kind of see it, and then it wouldn't. It'd go away, and he couldn't make out what he was seeing in the spirit, because he's looking on something. And he said, to start with, I was like, "What is this?" Well, Isaiah 52 says this concerning him, concerning his outward physical death, that his visual form was marred more than any man or the sons of men. Now, meaning that once Jesus is beaten and put on the cross, he'll be marred more. His physical appearance will be worse than anything. I'm thinking, wait a minute. A car wreck, train wreck, burn victims. I mean, people can be some pretty ugly messes after a bad accident. How can you say that Jesus is going to be so disfigured that it'll be such a disfigurement that it'll be worse than anything that any man has ever been looked upon to be? But you got to understand, it wasn't just his physical beating. And all the beating that he went through, all of sin, twisted and contorted and mangled his body into something. Pastor Dave saw this thing and he said, honestly, to start with, he said it looked like something like roadkill or something that had been run over, or something mangled. He couldn't tell if it was a human or an animal. He said, my God, what is this I keep seeing in the spirit? I see this picture of this. I don't know if it's a person or a thing or an animal. He said, that was him. That's your Savior. That's what he looked like when I sent him to the cross. He was that. Dave said, now the little sweet, or whatever sweetness you can get out of it, the crucifixions where they have Jesus on a cross and a little bit of blood coming from his side and sprinkles from his hands and a loincloth. He said, what I saw, you couldn't put up in your kitchen. You couldn't put it up. You couldn't eat if you looked over there at it. It was a mangled mess, a contorted mess of humanity. But he said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. What happens to a person who's a sinner that doesn't know Christ, hasn't been born again? They go to hell. They go to hell. Do you know this? This saddens me, but it's God's righteousness. They'll go immediately to hell, and then there'll be a great white throne judgment. And Revelation says they'll all be pulled up out of that. And then they'll all go before the judgment seat of Christ. And they'll all be explained why they all have to be sent back for the last time. And that'll be it. Mama won't pray you out. Daddy won't confess you out. Nobody can stand in the gap for you. One person has already stood in. He said, I saw another vision. I don't know if it was at the same time or a little bit later. I think it was, it may be in that Love Walk series, but he said he saw a man. He honestly did not know to start with. He didn't know until he asked the Lord. He saw a man flat on his back, engulfed in a place of hail and darkness, but flames. Do you understand that according to Scripture, that Jesus not only died above ground, he died below ground? Steven Spielberg could not write a fictitious composition of a movie, the best of Hollywood, to describe and show the agonies of hell. Dave said, I saw a man laying on his back crying and saying, God, please, 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 please take me out of here. He didn't know who it was. He thought for a day or two, what am I seeing? What? Who is that? Why are you showing me this? That's when he was really pressing in to know the love of God and the price that Jesus paid for us. This isn't just a little ditty we have on Sunday where we dress up and come together and, oh, we come out of a tomb. He spent 3 days and three nights in agony, spiritual agony. His body, his spiritual body being tormented. Dave said, who is that? God finally told him, said, that's your Savior. That's Jesus. He not only died physically, he died in the pit of hell for you. And listen, nobody in 6,000 years, well, it's been four then, nobody up to that point had ever escaped. It was an Alcatraz you couldn't escape from. You couldn't get there and talk your way out. Anybody that ever went there was continually damned there forever. One man ever has made it out of hell. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me finish this. Glory be to God. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. There has never been a sci-fi movie that could ever depict the horror that Jesus suffered approximately 3 days during his confinement in hell. Pastor Dave Roberson once saw a vision of a man lying on his back in the flames of hell, with his hands extended upward, crying out to God for deliverance. When he inquired of God what it was that he was seeing, the Lord told him that it was his Savior, Jesus, during his time in hell, paying the price for mankind. There is no amount of thanksgiving that is ever enough to repay him for the incredible price that he paid for our salvation. The good news is that when the debt was paid, God brought him up in spiritual life and in a place of physical resurrection. You see, if Jesus doesn't come out, then there's no salvation. He's got to come out. That price has been paid. Colossians 2:15 says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Excuse me, I want to giggle here, but I don't want to make fun, because I probably, in previous days gone by, and it's been a good while, thank God, some preachers like to preach that there was some kind of physical wrestling match in hell between Jesus and Satan that resulted in Jesus' victory and physical resurrection. But this is simply not true. The open display of Jesus' power over principalities and power is in the physical resurrection of Christ on the third day. This record of His resurrection was recorded by all four Gospels and witnessed by over 500 people at one time. This openly declared His power over Satan to no longer hold the human race in spiritual death. Some preachers like to preach, they'll get it, especially on Easter Sunday, and Jesus went up to Satan and they got him a big fat. Jesus threw him on the ground and said, "I'm stomping on you, devil." And you can't find nothing in the Word that's remotely close. There was no physical or spiritual like touching of them and him punching devils and fighting his way out of there. That makes for a good Sunday service. I mean, kind of like, get him, hit him again, Jesus, hit him. I don't know that Satan was anywhere around. All I know is the open display was not him punching a bunch of devils. That's kind of kindergarten level thinking. His open display was this, that on the third day, or when it came to a point where the Father said, "That's it. That'll pay for Adam and all of his seed. I got the last Adam. Come on, son. The same life that he was born with now comes back in him. And that same life picks him up. Picks him up from a spiritually dead state. Takes him all the way back into a physical realm called earth and enters into a dead body. But now when that life that was in him comes into that flesh becomes glorified. It's a glorified flesh now. And that's what you and I are going to get one day. We're going to get our glorified bodies. Hallelujah. If you just worship with me for just a moment. Those of you that are watching, hallelujah. Father, we love you. Words can never tell you what we feel when we think about what Jesus paid for us. Father, it's not my desire that any of these would perish, not anybody in this room, nor anybody watching. And Father, you know the prayer that's gone up from them for them, not just the prayer before this service, but years of prayer, Sunday nights and Monday mornings and through the week, and people praying that Immokalee is saved, and people, Malahale seti ala kolatetiete, fla otiete, what, Lord? Hatiaklo sete, maholokale sete. If you've met someone in this congregation and somehow come into relationship with them via friend, boyfriend, husband, or wife, or some kind of relationship, and even not yet born again, know this, that prayers and intercession have been being made for you in the past without you knowing it, and even without them who prayed it for you knowing it. But I was praying that even through the relationship you would have with someone else, you'd come into this place and hear truth like you've never heard truth and be born of my Spirit. I've directed your path to come to this place, even through relationships. Now is your time of destiny, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So those that are watching and those that are here, let's all bow our heads in prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer. Well, I can tell you this. God loves you so much that you're here by destiny. But He also wants me to tell you in a loving way, today is your day of decision. You have to make a decision. Please don't put this off for 6 months or 6 years. Or today is a day of reckoning. And if you say, well, I know the Lord, but if you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church or one foot in Christ, today is a day to change. Make the final decision. Go all the way. Go all the way. Stop playing around. I'm going to pray for everyone in here. And then I'm going to pray that if there's anyone in here that does not know Jesus Christ or is kind of half in the world and half in church and half in God, that you'd come back completely. Completely. Today is your day. It's a day of destiny. You're going to make a decision that's the greatest decision that you've ever made. Listen, the first person to ever hear His voice and see Him was a woman called Mary Magdalene, whom He cast 7 devils out of. We don't know the life that she lived. Some said she was a harlot. We can't prove that. We do know this. She must have had some kind of horrible life for 7 demons to live inside of her. Maybe she was a harlot. Maybe she was abused at an early age. Or maybe she was confused about her sexuality. Maybe she didn't know who she was. But I can tell you this. One day, Jesus met her and cast 7 devils out of her. And then Luke 8 said that she followed Him. She followed Him from city to city. That man set me free. That man set me free. I've been abused all my life, but that man set me free. I feel clean now. I feel washed. Whatever those men did, whatever I was living before, something about Him. She knows. She was the first one at the tomb, and the first one, supposing Him to be a gardener, said, "Sir, if you'll just, I got to find Him. I got to find Him." And He said, "Mary, Mary, Mary, Mary." She knew. She knew His voice. Can you hear? Can you hear His voice this morning? He's saying, come. Change your life. All you have to do is ask me to come in. And I'll wash you. You'll never know peace like you know peace until you come to Him. I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to ask if anyone in here wants me to pray for them for salvation. Father, I praise You and I thank You for this hour. This is an hour that You've ordained, that men and women would come to know the truth and hear Your voice as Mary heard Your voice. and know that you are calling them to a life eternal through your blood. So I'm asking you now to speak to their hearts. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would like prayer this morning, say, I'm not really sure that I know the Lord, or I know that I don't know the Lord, would you please lift your hand? I know you're in here. I know there's more than one. Like I said, if you reject this today and say, no, I'm going to sit this one out, you're not going to get me, preacher. If you do die before you are able to make it right, He'll bring this service back. This will be the one thing that He'll bring back to you and say, that was your chance. That was your chance. Is there anybody here? You're not sure. I'll pray for you. You're not sure. Just lift your hand. Worship you, Jesus. Those of you that are watching, God's dealing with people here. He's dealing with people through the camera. Father, I pray that you'll do me a favor because you love them so much. I pray that they'll not be happy if they don't walk out of here knowing you. That they will, all their life, they'll be disrupted. After every laugh, after every giggle, after everything that they think's pleasurable, I pray that there'll be a miserableness that'll come on them. Not a depression like Satan brings, but a gut-wrenching kind of like, nothing will make me happy. Nothing will satisfy me. Not any act, not any pleasure. God, follow them down. Chase them down. Chase them down. Wake them up at night. Make them think about this thing. Don't let them escape. Is there anyone in here? Anyone? Now's your opportunity. Now's your opportunity. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to believe that someone out there, well, I'm saying it in my heart. No. Listen, he said this. If you're ashamed of me here, I'll be ashamed. Well, Pastor, nobody's going to embarrass you. But we've had such a milquetoast religion because didn't want to embarrass people. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me here, I'll be ashamed of you there. If you really change, you won't mind if somebody looks at you and says, they're giving their heart to the Lord. That's why we're here. I did it one time. I had to get up out of my seat and walk with other people. They looked and they said, hey, that's wonderful. That person's giving their... Well, I'm a private person. In this, you can't be private. Sorry. In this, you have to acknowledge. You don't have to say anything out loud before everybody. You just have to say yes. 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 That's me. I want him. One last time right now, is there anybody here? Hallelujah. Well, I've done my best, my very best, through His grace. But I'm praying for the camera now, Father, for everybody in the camera that's watching. Maybe you've raised your hand where you're at, or you want to say this prayer. So let's all say this prayer together for those that are watching. Say this, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, for His shed blood, that He died for me, both physically and spiritually. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart. forgive me of all my sins and wash me in His blood. And I will serve Him forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's all stand. Have a wonderful Easter. Get your cameras ready. Go out. Watch the kids. Don't run over the kids. The kids are supposed to find the eggs, not you. Bless you. We will see you all Wednesday night. Thank you for coming. And God bless all of you for watching. Wonderful day. Hallelujah. Amen.